It's The Takeaway on WNYC. I'm Richard Haight. Good morning. It's not every day we get a verdict, let alone a mistrial in a police murder case. Yesterday, we got both. Former Sopranos actor Lillo Brancato was cleared of second-degree murder charges in the shooting death of off-duty police officer Daniel Anchautegui, and a judge declared a mistrial in the shooting death of officer Russell Timoshenko during a traffic stop in Brooklyn last year. Here to help us make sense of the two cases is Eugene O'Donnell, professor of law and police studies at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. He's also a former police officer and former prosecutor. Professor O'Donnell, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Richard. Good morning.
Good morning. So Police Commissioner Kelly yesterday called it a day of disappointments in courts. How would you say NYPD officers are reacting to yesterday's decision?
I'm sure they're disappointed, and I'm sure there's some emotion that's connected to what occurred yesterday. But I'm also sure they have their eye on what occurred in the prior trials, which is that the major players, both in the Anchautegui case and in the Timoshenko case, the Brooklyn case and the Bronx case, the major people, the trigger people, have been convicted and will be doing life in prison.
Yeah, there have already been convictions in both the cases. How different were the defendants in these specific cases? As you mentioned, they were not the trigger people.
Yeah, the reality in these cases is that multiple defendant cases are hard for prosecutors to try. It's hard to actually pin down facts. And even though there are laws, there are doctrines that make it somewhat easier for prosecutors acting in concert when people work together. It facilitates convictions of people, and so does the felony murder rule, which were both in operation in these cases. The reality is the jurors are expected to decide each case individually on its merits. And the reality is that in some cases there are major actors who do the worst kinds of things, and there are, and it may be the case in these situations, in a couple of these verdicts, that the jury found that there were tag-along schnooks, if you will, sort of a schnook defense, that people were sort of less culpable, less responsible, less blameworthy, if you will, as we say in criminal law, and that they were sort of peripheral players and not the major people that the trigger people and the shooters were.
Now, speaking of jurors, in the Timoshenko case, the judge declared a mistrial after the defense objected to resuming deliberations with an alternate juror. Is there anything unusual about that?
There's not. The fact is that the jury has deliberated. It's a team effort trying to come to a verdict, and it really would be difficult. It's possible if the defense assents to it. They did not in that case do so. But ordinarily, the jury, this deliberating is separated from alternate jurors, and bringing an alternate in after the jury has spoken at great length could really be disruptive. The alternate would not have the benefit of hearing what the jurors had already been talking about at some length.
Now let's talk about a couple of other high-profile cases that are pending right now, and these are where NYPD officers are actually the defendants. One's accused of sodomizing that man in a Brooklyn subway station, another accused of assaulting a bicyclist during a rally. What can we anticipate in those cases?
Yeah, I hope people will apply the same rules they apply to a police shooting as to a police alleged police brutality case, which is people are presumed innocent. They have to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And even where a case looks very strong, jurors can in good faith disagree. And you'll notice that in the Timoshenko case, there was a video. And years ago, we would say, well, if we had a video, you'd expect that would make things clearer. But in fact, it may not make things clearer. That may be one of the things in the cyclist case that comes up. The defense undoubtedly will say it's out of context, that there are things that were not there. So the presumption of innocence and the rule of law, and also trying to give jurors a break. They do the best they can. They follow the law. And unless you have some reason to believe they're not acting in good faith, that they're not conscientious, you really have to respect the system. It's at the end of the day, they're the people that have to make these judgments, and these are not necessarily the easiest judgments to make.
And it seems whenever there's a case involving a police officer, whether a victim or a defendant, there's such support from fellow officers outside the courtroom, inside the courtroom. Do you think the trials can be fair with that?
They can. I think that, you know, the officers have to demonstrate decorum, of course. I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that they don't. At the end of the day, of course, the officers are targeted not because of who they are as individuals, but because of the uniform they wear. And in that sense, not only are they targeted, but we're targeted. So it is an emotional topic. It is something that police officers feel strongly about. But so long as they conduct themselves like any other group of spectators in a courthouse, I don't see any problem with them attending.
Eugene O'Donnell is a professor of law and police studies at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, also a former police officer and former prosecutor. Eugene, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.